Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Can you say hard hats, folks? Hard hats, lunch pail, steel toe boots?
Anything short of a championship this year is a failure.
Dude, look at this boomer right here.
You've just got so much talent here.
Somebody said we need to apologize for Jalen.
Can I call the John? What are we apologizing for? What did we say? What did we do? Still rolling.
What's going on, guys?
Look who jumped on, everybody.
I couldn't not jump on. I couldn't do it.
Look who made an appearance.
Had to get a bite of the apple.
He can miss one loss, but he'll be dandy he misses two in a row.
Oh, goodness, no. It wasn't even that. Dramatic. There's so much to talk about.
Yeah,
there's so much to unpack there at the very end, which is a ton of fun. But I'll let you guys carry this. I'm here as a tourist.
Don't give us
Is this the Al Horford load management game where he
puts himself in the host square, my friend?
I'm in a hotel.
Yeah, pinch hitting though.
Whoa!
I'm in Los Angeles. I'm actually staying at the
Holiday Inn.
Speaking of losers, we're at the hotel where the Arizona Wildcats are. On their way back here. I saw their sad boosters filing in. We're right here at Staples Center. So we got all the action right around us. A ton of stuff going on. Game right behind me. Another game going on. But I watched the end of this and I wanted to jump on. Is there anything worth talking about other than the end, guys?
No.
Well, it was a great game. I mean, there were some things that you liked out of it. I mean, there were some things you didn't like. It was a great game, Sherrod.
Hogs. I guess
it was a back and forth game. You know, it was a lot of lead changes. It was entertaining.
Celtics would miss. Hawks would grab the rebound. Hawks would grab the rebound. It was
frustrating.
Second chance, third chances. Yeah, man.
Let's just talk about the end. Let's talk about the last 2 minutes of regulation.
Let me ask you guys first. How did they even get to that point? This sounded not to me like, look, I think there's actually probably more to be concerned with in a game where you went punch for punch with a team and you had something to play for. You got embarrassed after having lost a 30-point lead last game. Last game didn't bother me as much outside of the late-game execution. This game, you just got beaten and outplayed by a play-in team. And you got to reconcile that. What happened to even get, you know, what happened to even get to this point where it was close and late?
Watching this game felt like you were watching the Celtics die a death of 1,000 cuts. Miss offensive rebound here. Miss loose ball there.
Second chance points.
Second chance points here. Giving it to the guy who hasn't really been the guy that scores when you need a bucket in the last minute. How about Derek White, the guy who knocked down a shot that put you up? How about Jaylen Brown, the guy that, again, knocked down a shot that put you up? They actually we'll talk a bit more about it later, but the idea of using Tatum as a decoy down a stretch in close games, love it. The idea of using him as my number one, two, three, and four option to score, don't love it. Why? Because it doesn't work.
So
yeah, teams figure it out, man. It's redundant for sure. I saw a lot of that as well, especially in that fourth quarter.
I want to flip this conversation a tad. I think we spend a lot of time saying, well, it's predictable. When Tatum has the ball, defenses load up. Murray had the ball, and the defense was prepared for him to take that shot, and he hit it. So maybe we need to stop. We need to reframe the conversation a little bit. It isn't necessarily that giving the ball to your best player late in the game to try to get off a shot, you know, under difficult circumstances where you need somebody that can create their own offense is a bad thing to do. Many teams do it. It's just Jason Tatum is really bad at it. Okay. And it's that simple. He's bad at it. There's a 3-year track record. He's bad at this. He doesn't do this well. So at some point you have to stop saying, oh geez, it's the ISO and it's so predictable. No, Tatum sucks at it. Like he's just bad at it. He's just not The numbers bear out in this situation. It's always something that's falling away, off balance. He can't get anything going to the basket. It's the same shot every single time. He's bad at it.
And conversely, Derek White is not bad at it.
Mic drop.
Derek White and I got to say, Jaylen Brown actually, in the overtime period tonight, he got the shot. And he, you know, the ball went into Porzingis. Porzingis found Brown, and Brown hit that shot. So they actually had Tatum out at, you know, half court.
Him as a decoy.
Yeah, Tatum, exactly.
At one point, he dove to the basket, and the defense kind of froze for a second, and they swung into Jaylen, and Jaylen had the defender slightly off balance because they were worried about Tatum, who was diving to the basket. That was a great, great play. Even if Jaylen didn't make the shot, the fact that they were utilizing Tatum in a way that actually benefited the offense as opposed to benefiting Tatum's ego to be the guy to take the last shot was great to see.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, Sharon. Like, the last game, I had no problem with Jaylen Brown having the ball in his hand. I just had an issue with how he handled the time, you know, in those last, you know, 6, 5, 4 seconds. Took him a long time, and he just got off a really, really bad shot. But how many times have we seen that with Jason Tatum? And I'm not saying that he hasn't earned the opportunity to take the last shot in that moment, but it doesn't always have to be him. This thing is predictable, including teams like the Atlanta Hawks.
It's not about earning that moment.
Everybody knew. Yeah, no, you're right. It's not about earning it, but the thing is that, like, that's just like the norm with Joe Mazzulla.
Deserves got nothing to do with it, Joe Sway. This isn't college. You get a bunch of stickers on your helmet and that means something. Like, you're trying to win a game here. Like, there's no. Like gold, right. You get a bunch of gold stars, you know, like, oh, you deserve the ball.
The guy who takes the most shots typically has that opportunity, or most of the time, right? And that's okay. But like you said, John, when there isn't a consistent track record, it's okay to switch things up, especially when it's a tie game. If you miss, you go into overtime. You know, why don't we try to do something different? You know, especially at this time of the season with Joe Mazzulla, who's been spicing things up every once in a while, including the last time these two teams met. When he put Springer in to start the fourth quarter. Now you got your guards in. You still didn't have a great just overall performance. Let's face it here. Like, this team just didn't look like one that should have had a sense of urgency. Someone that just – a team that should have came in and said, look, we remember what you did earlier this week, and we're going to punch you guys right in the mouth. They never came out with that demonstrative approach. They never came out with that sense of urgency or ever got on pace to get there. Atlanta was with them the entire game, and when it came down to it, they fought for it. They fought harder, and DeJounte Murray played the game of his career. But it shouldn't have happened like that. If you're the Boston Celtics, you had plenty of opportunities to make sure that didn't happen, that they didn't end up winning this game.
Such a hilarious Murray line: 44 points on 44 shots. Like,
that's insane.
You're not playing it. That's
badass.
You're a shot chucker.
Yeah, I mean,
19 three-pointers.
He hit the one Tatum couldn't hit at the end, the ISO at the top of the key. And you guys are right. It's a shot that you see often from the stars that can hit the shot. The Celtics are trying to fit a square peg into a round hole with that, and it's just not working. And they had two chances in regulation. They got not bailed out. They got fouled with 6.7 seconds left, I think it was. And Mazzulla could have drawn up anything else. And he just gave it right back to Tatum again and for the forced three-pointer. So that was so damn frustrating.
He doesn't have anything else.
It was so predictable. It was so unbelievable and yet believable at the same time. They're like, there's no way he's going to do it. And what happens? Right. He throws it to Tatum in the backcourt. I'm like, oh, I thought he was going to get an 8 seconds just from 10 feet behind the line. How deliberate he was starting up there, and here we go. And
when they've been the first this week,
even on the play on the game broadcast, they're like, "Well, hopefully, all right. Well, hopefully, they'll at least get some movement." And then 10 seconds later, they're like, "Nobody's moving, guys.
Nope,
guys,
that's it.
Nope,
guys.
No one's moving." And as soon as Tatum starts going, they force him left, and what happens? In comes the double team, and he's got to circle back right. And here we go. We're running out of time. And then you get the foul with same exact shit. It's unfreaking believable. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
It isn't.
But it's not.
That's the problem. There was
I think the word is maddening, John. I think the word is maddening.
I just don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, how many times do we have to see Tatum dribble, 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 3, 2, 1, barely get a shot off? It really is like watching. It's like being part of Groundhog's Day, and you know how this is going to end, and everyone knows how this is going to play out, and yet we still do it over again. It's insanity. Doing the same thing, expecting a different outcome. Why, Joe? Why? And the one time that he tries something different, where you have Tatum as a decoy, you get a great shot for Jaylen Brown, or you get a great shot for Derrick White. And wasn't it pretty predictable that Derrick White on the inbounds with 0.1 seconds left throws it inbounds and it goes through the net?
Yeah, right.
that was the basketball saying. See what happens when the guy who should be on the floor is the guy inbounding the ball.
All right, here's a Joe clip. What is this? Is this what do you know? It's Gary and Joe going back at it about whether the loss was demoralizing. Here's Joe.
Let's go, Gary. Let's go.
You better not say we couldn't guard Murray.
Team up.
You had 44 points on 44 shots, and you already crushed JT, so you better not do it. All right, I'm just making sure.
Whoa.
We played great defense on him.
Yeah. In overtime.
Yeah.
Three ISOs against Porzingis. Is there any other way to defend that? Because obviously he's comfortable shooting over bigger players.
No, those are good reps for us. We went to that on purpose. We have an opportunity to practice stuff that we're going to need to get to. And we haven't done a lot of 15, 1-5 switching with KP on the floor. So I thought that was a good opportunity for us to just work on that and get reps in that and, get it on film.
How demoralizing is it?
Come on, man. I'm really trying hard here to, it's not demoralizing. Demoralizing?
No, I'm talking about not the loss. I'm talking about a play like when Murray gets a corner three, contests and misses, and then Hunter just simply puts it up for a second chance
to get the stop. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's hard to – was that an air ball? That was the air ball?
Yeah, I think it was an air ball.
Yeah, you can't rebound an air ball. I mean, I'm sure there's 10 other ones that, we can talk about, but you can't. You don't know it's going to be an air ball. It's an air ball.
Yeah, but they're hitting the boards.
You're getting the loose balls.
I mean, listen, if you're looking for me to tell you that they out-efforted us for like 6 to 8 rebounds, they out-efforted us for 6 to 8 rebounds. But I'm not going to show the one on film of the air ball.
Okay. First off, I want to say one thing.
A lot of laughter.
I want to say one thing.
Uncomfortable laughter, Jimmy.
Gary,
you know the real
Gary,
it's uncomfortable.
Gary is not negative. Gary doesn't hate the Celtics. Gary is not the enemy. Gary is just a reporter trying to ask questions that probably a lot of fans want to know about, and he's doing his best to try to get Joe to answer some of the things that we talk about here on the show and at the water cooler and then the next day. That's the job. Oh, it's not his job to go there and say, wasn't that great? Did you see Jason Tatum? He's only 26 and he scored 35 and 5 from 48 times or blah, blah, blah. That's the game broadcast. Okay. That's not what reporters do. He's not negative. I don't understand that. And he's not going at Joe. He's just trying to get some answers to the questions that everybody asks. That's it.
He can't even get the question though.
Because Joe gets his with the question is before the question is asked.
Right.
And why he was asking so about one language. He hates the word embarrassing. So that's all. Now he hates the word demoralizing. Like he pinpoints the one word that he doesn't like in the question, and then all of a sudden
it's fine.
It takes away from what the question is.
Bottom line is this: Joe's team underperforms, and he needs to be accountable for why they underperform. That's what's happening here. We're trying to find out how the hell can you go to Atlanta and catch not one but two L's two completely different ways. To John's point, I really didn't think a whole lot about the first game because I just figured, you know what, they showed up in town, they got up big, and they just, you know, they let their foot off the gas. It happens. It happens all the time. But this was worse. This loss was worse because you had every reason to want to throttle this team, and not only did you not put them six deep, you got your ass kicked down the stretch. They out executed you when the game mattered most. Tatum is going to take the last shot. What happens? He's going to miss. You knew Jante was going to take the last shot, and what does he do? He splashes the ball over Drew. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't have came to that though. That's what I'm saying, that this game felt like this was the death of a thousand cuts. There were so many little things that the Celtics screwed up in this game that we're supposed to pretend as if that didn't happen. We're supposed to pretend as if you know, Tatum, when they were being physical with Tatum, that it didn't bother him and force him to take some shots when he probably should have swung the ball to get a great shot as opposed to a tightly contested shot? Come on, Joe.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. And another thing I want to address in the chat here, everyone's saying like, oh, it was a lot of offensive rebounds. Like that's like some like freak accident, like a landslide or like an earthquake. Like you allowed this to happen. It's not some freak occurrence. Like when you let teams beat you up on the boards, that is bad. I mean, I don't understand why people are saying it. Like it just happened.
And Atlanta's one of the best, if not the best, at offensive rebounds. But here's the thing: you know that going into the game.
They just showed you 3 days ago, Sherrod. Yeah.
So why is your strategy seemingly one that doesn't address what their greatest strength is?
Right. And it's not even about the bigs, too. That's another thing, too, man. Like you had Krejci. You had Bogdanović. Like, these guys are just getting second chance, sometimes third chance opportunities. And the Celtics never stopped that. It went 1-4 all the way into overtime as well when Murray went off, too. And it's just – it's stuff like that that you're going to get questioned about. You're going to get a question that uses the word demoralizing because, I mean, it's the Atlanta Hawks we're talking about. Yeah, they're not at the bottom of the standings, but – for a team like the Boston Celtics that just came off a game where they blew a 30-point lead, you would expect a completely different approach. There was nothing different about this game outside of seeing Holiday in the mix and White in the mix as well, you know. But, you know, it didn't really affect in terms of what they were doing, in terms of executing. The Celtics never cleaned up the issues that they had all game long, the same ones that we saw Tuesday night. And it's the reason why you're gonna get asked about this, Joe. Like, come on, man. Like, what do you expect them? They're just gonna say, hey, too bad Tatum didn't make that shot, huh? Then you guys would have never gone to overtime. Like, what kind of question is that? Gary wouldn't be doing his job if he asked questions like that.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Big upset tonight. I'm out here. There's March Madness going on in Boston. There's March Madness going on in LA, where I am. And there's March Madness going on here in this chat right now. And what we've got is an upset in the making, in the Hernan Gomez region, the Elite Eight, Thanasis Manning, which I thought was a heavy favorite.
It's not over yet, John. There's still plenty.
It's not over. Thanasis Manning, in my mind, was a heavy favorite in this one. Okay, a lot of juice behind it. You get video attached to Thanasis Manning, so you have a visceral reaction every time you hear it, too, because you know what it looks like. But he's your third center.
That's
a late addition.
It's hot into the tourney.
He's been saying it for 2 years, but Jimmy really finally brought it to life. Yeah. He's your third center.
What do you hear? He's your third center.
It won the Missouri
what
Valley
do you want
Conference.
From him?
It won the Missouri Valley Conference to get that large bid. They're in. Had to win their
come on.
Center.
He's your third center. I love it.
See, it's hard not to pass up on that.
I think it's gonna go to Final Four, man.
So it's a Bobby versus Bobby matchup here, even though it's this one is tight. Get your votes in. We're gonna switch it up at about the 30-minute mark of this show. The polls are gonna run through the weekend.
Whole bracket, guys. You never know.
This one is tough, and then we are hopping over to what's the next one, Amit? Are we doing a Kevin Jelly one today?
No,
we might be.
Last time we went up and down. I don't know if we're going to keep doing it that way.
No, we were switching around. We're going to vote on something else. Amit is we'll what's find next?
Out. Amit's in ATL, so he already might be at the clubs for all we know.
Amit didn't even get a hotel room. He just stayed up at the clubs.
He knows the moment this show's over.
He's free. Saved
he's
you guys
off the hook, so he's focused right now.
Yeah.
He's focused.
Not happy about OT, I'm sure. Changed the
yeah, we've got CLNS is on the road this week. We've got whatever. We've got these guys in ATL. Bobby's going to join us in a little bit. Nick and I are in Los Angeles right now at a conference, and we're staying in the Hernan Gomez region. Farts, my dog, versus Blame Pie, a 2-6 matchup, just like the one that just happened here, Arizona versus Clemson, and you had an upset, the 6-1 in that one.
Farts, my dog, also a late one this year, but the Hernan Gomez in general has been a wild region this whole time through. Kevin Jelly stayed true to form. The favorites took care of business, but Kevin Hernan Gomez, look out.
Look out. So we will prompt you once again when this one jumps in, but we do have, we've got a little bit of fun here. We're told Jaylen Brown's going to talk, Holiday and Tatum, so we'll hear from those guys as well. Guys, bringing it back to you. You watched the whole game. Air your grievances.
I need more Derek White.
Yeah?
I need more Derek White. On nights like this where he's got his shot going at a high level, he needs to have more than 11 shots.
Yeah.
In a game where you're just trying to find someone to just give you that separation that you need to bury this team, I need more shots from Derek White on nights like this.
I would co-sign that. I mean, I there's no reason not to. I mean, you the worst part of this loss is the fact that you had the guards tonight. You can make the excuse on Monday that you had no Holiday, you had no White. Tonight, the offense should have been clicking. The defense should have been playing a lot harder. There's no excuse for this. The amount of second chance points that the Celtics allowed tonight, majority off those offensive rebounds. Just frustrating. I mean, I like that they got Porzingis involved early. Obviously it's good to get him going, but he kind of fell off too towards the end of that, the end of the game. And they didn't get much of any bench production tonight. Hauser missed his first couple and he ended up with 8 points. But Pritchard 4, Cornette 4, Tillman 2. So again, with Horford missing this one, you were kind of pretty thin on that bench tonight and it showed. And that plays a part in, when some of your guys, like if a guy like, Holiday's still coming back from something, you can't expect him to be go 100% out there. And it would have been a situation if Pritchard could have had a better game that might have helped. But overall, I think I'm kind of with Sherrod, get White more involved. He played 41 minutes. He even hit a shot from out of bounds tonight, but unfortunately that one didn't count. But you got
to
get
it. I want to address this. This is the second time someone said this in the comments. This is actually incorrect. The correct thing you do when you're down in a game is you take that last shot with 7-8 seconds left so you have a chance at two things, 100%. Both an offensive rebound or a foul with enough time to be able to get the ball back after the free throw. So a couple people have said this is incorrect. A tie game, you leave nothing on the clock.
When Mark and losing, Melanie, we love you.
Losing,
we appreciate we love the money.
You, and we appreciate the contribution. I bring this up because 3 or 4 people said it in the chat. The correct thing to do is what Jaylen did. That play was a hot dumpster fire. And thank goodness Jaylen bailed out because that's what he does. He hits difficult contested shots, and that's what he did. Probably should have been an and one, but absolutely, absolutely has to leave time on the clock when you're trailing on that last possession there. But again, thank you for the contribution. I don't mean for the call out here, but it's the third or fourth time someone has said that. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with what Jaylen did there.
The first time somebody's ever paid to get bashed, I think.
I didn't. I'm tough. So. I feel bad about it's it. I wanted to acknowledge it, but also, as we
you
said,
did it gently. You did it gently.
Some people, they like that though. They like.
They like that.
They like to get. Yeah,
you know what else people bucks, like?
It smacked around.
They like winning some dough, right?
Exactly.
Prize Picks. Largest daily
pivot,
fantasy
John,
sports
pivot,
platform in North America. Easiest, most exciting way to play DFS. It's you and the numbers. You don't battle a million other players or pros and sharks out there. It's just you and the numbers. Pick more or less on a 2-6 player stat projection. Watch the winnings roll in. Deep, like we said, into basketball season here. There's no football, but there's a ton of stuff. You can get in on the action. NBA, NHL. On Prize Picks right now, so go ahead and check it out. Prize
Picks.
Hope you pick more on Murray. It's super easy to download. It's a very intuitive app. It's extremely easy to do. And if you download it today and use the code CLNS, that's very important. And it's as easy as it gets. You download it and it says, "Do you have a code?" And the box is right there. You type CLNS and bing. You deposit 100. They match it up to 100, and there you go. Once again, download the app. Use that code CLNS. For your first deposit match up to 100. Once again, the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. That, of course, is Prize Picks and the exclusive fantasy sports, daily fantasy sports partner of the CLNS Media Network. Guys, jumping back in here, I'll ask this question. Why not have Tatum on Murray a little bit? That's worked. before, and he's a great on-ball defender. And we saw him switch the momentum against players in the past when he's decided to man up. Obviously, the SGA one against Oklahoma City, even though that game was a loss, was a great example. But we've seen him do it a few times. Is that something you might have tried? And again, I don't disagree with Joe. Like, they didn't play bad defense. 19 of 44. I mean, whatever. Yeah. I mean, he took 44 freaking shots.
That's what I'm saying. I can't really jump on them about the defense. Because, I mean, if you hold a guy to shooting like that from the field, 18 for 44, whatever it was, that's about 40%. And that's pretty good defense against a guy, particularly a guy that's taking that many shots. Their problem, I thought, in this game was, again, just little things, just not tightening up the kind of things that you need to be functional at in order to just handle your business and be the team that has no business playing with you. That, to me, was the issue. Their defense on DeJounte, I didn't have a problem with that because, again, for him, I think most players, really top-tier players, if they take 44 shots in a game, they're going to hit you with a 50-burger at least. I was perfectly cool with what they were able to do defensively for the most part. Obviously, Drew, at the end there, you don't want to see that. But overall, though, I thought they did a pretty good job defensively.
I agree with this comment. I think Murray was taking that shot regardless of how many.
I took that off by accident, Jimmy.
Okay, I'll put it back. Murray was taking that shot no matter how many guys were standing in front of him. Type of player he is, type of attitude he had tonight. He was, dancing and prancing all around there on the court, pointing at the Celtics bench. Everybody knew that he was going to take the shot. So you could have probably had somebody, double up onto him at some point there because, maybe that leaves Bogdan open, which is going to kill you too. But I still would have maybe taken that little risk there because it felt
that ball wasn't
leaving his hands.
Because that Joe Mazzulla is always going to think about that guy who's going to be open in the corner. I feel like he hates to lose that way. Than a contested shot. But at the same time, though, I just wonder if, I mean, the thing about this Hawks team is, or Murray in particular, is that he likes that moment. He wants to be in that moment. Now, this whole time since Trey's been out, like, the Hawks have been 500 or somewhere around there, or, they've been hot, they've been cold. But he's enjoying every moment because he's the guy. He's able to do this, right? Put up 44, put up 44 attempts. Be the focal point of the offense. So I feel like in this instant, probably should have doubled in that spot. If Bogdanović isn't wide open, but I just think Joe Mazzulla just didn't. He wasn't going to do that. He wants to match up straight up. He wants Drew to be in that situation, even though Drew's been out. Because that's his role to latch on to guys like that. But Murray got the better end of this of that one. And going into overtime, I just felt like it. Celtics never found that offensive rhythm that they needed, and a lot of it is because you give these guys more confidence every time. Well, first of all, they didn't take them seriously. Like, let's just be honest here. I mean, there's no way they did, or at least took them as the way they would take on a Denver Nuggets or one of the top tier teams. It's just sort of that mindset that they have at times where it's like, oh, we're going to close this out. We'll just figure it out. But they never plugged those holes that got the Atlanta Hawks or kept them in it the whole time. And eventually they grab that lead, whether it was the second chance opportunities, rebounding, boxing out, slipping up coverages. I just thought the way the Celtics executed down the stretch as well. I mean, Jalen makes that big shot, but you have to keep it going. You have to finish. You have to defend. And I feel like that was just – it was just a bad possession for the Celtics on the defensive end of the floor, whether you double him or not. It's just he had a great shot. He had a good chance to make it, and he did. So,
can I ask you guys this question? Coming off the game last time where they, they blew the lead and you have the late game execution issues and you lose to a shorthanded Hawks team. Didn't this feel coming in like this would be like a 70-point game, and a get right and a flex your muscles? And did it feel like they played with that level of urgency throughout?
No, never. Not once did I get that feeling.
No.
No, I agree.
I mean, as they chuck in the first quarter, I mean, you kind of got – that was like an indication in itself. It's like, oh, it's going to be one of those games. Not that, oh, something's going to be in trouble, but it's like, oh, they're going to have to – like, the Hawks are going to – they're not going to go anywhere, and the Suns are going to have to really work hard on this one. Let's see if they do it. That was my mindset. And if Porzingis didn't have such a great first half, they would have been losing at halftime. So
yeah, but they figured something out. And I was – I thought Jaylen Brown did a lot of really good things, but the one thing that he didn't do as good a job as I thought he could have was staying with DeJounte Murray when they were trying to switch – and get Porzingis on him. I mean, DeJounte just absolutely murdered the Celtics when he got that switch on Porzingis, who could not guard him, and understandably so. But when Drew Holiday switched out on DeJounte, he had a much harder time getting that switch. You look at the last 3 or 4 minutes, and other than that, the game winner, I thought Drew did a much better job of not allowing DeJounte to get the shots that he had frankly been feasting off of all game. There's a lot of lessons that I hope the Celtics take away from this game. Being better at defending the pick and roll, not just switching everything. Sometimes as a guard, you got to fight through that and stay attached to a guy, particularly when he's scoring pretty much every damn bucket that the opponent is getting. So I'm hoping that they learn from him. I'm hoping that they use Jason Tatum more as a decoy down the stretch so that other guys will have opportunities to make plays. And guys who've shown they can do that.
Does Joe have the balls to do that? No. Take the ball out of Tatum's hands.
No, I mean, not regularly.
Thank you for the chat. We're going to talk about Joe a little bit here. Thanks.
Thank you, Jamaican boy.
Appreciate
it. No, you. I mean, I was finally glad to see him do it in the overtime there, because three straight possessions of Tatum just hoisting up or attempting to hoist up. That might have been Joe's head on a stake after. I think he must have understood that situation. So I think it's going to come down to Tatum's going to be the guy to get the first crack at it. I really do. I don't know what it's going to take for that to not be the case. I think Mazzulla still has all the confidence in the world in him. And maybe it's stubbornness. Maybe Mazzulla knows better than everybody else does. And based on the numbers and some other stat that we're not privy to, it makes the most sense. But I don't see it changing. I really don't. I mean, I think it should. I love the other options on this
great
team.
Great comment here. This, I mean, again, he's got a year under his belt, but we saw it last year, right? We were saying all year long, Marcus Smart's the third best guard on this team, and he's never going to do it. And he wouldn't play White. He'd forget about White and be like, I should have played him more. We're like, it's the playoffs, dude. You can't forget about this guy. Like, is he going to be able to do that? You know, I don't know.
I'm not convinced. No, I mean, put it this way. I have no reason to believe the answer is yes. Prove me wrong. At this point, I have no reason to believe the answer is yes.
Yeah, especially in the playoffs, man. I don't see that happening at all. If anything, tonight was the night to do something like that, you know, or at some point between now and the end of the regular season.
But also,
kind of throw teams off and get the other guy, you know, reps to be in that spot, whether it's White or whether it's Jaylen Brown. Jaylen's getting those big spots, though. It may not be the very last shot of the game type of situation like we saw tonight with Tatum, but I like him in those spots, though. I like that you're seeing the ball in his hands more often, where that was one of our big complaints. Seemed like, you know, under the 2 minute mark in some of these close games throughout the course of the regular season, Jaylen wouldn't really take those shots, you know, or he would cut it off, you know. So I like that because it gives him obviously the team another option, but it also gets Jaylen his reps in those moments.
The other thing I was going to just add is there are a lot of situations where Mazzulla's not making the call. And it's really on the players that I think understand the situation. Mm-hmm. Get it to the guy with the hot hand or get it to the guy that they think is in the best situation and give him the best chance to score. I mean, how many times do we tell Mazzulla call a timeout here and he doesn't? So I guess damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because if he does call a timeout, you might not be so confident. Even though he's been good, I think the statistics would show, Sherrod, that they've been effective out of timeouts scoring-wise. ATO plays, but you know, in those crunch time situations, things go a little bit haywire. It feels like if we lost John, I'm not sure, but anyways,
that's kind of
where I'm at with it.
They do. I mean, you're looking for this time of year a certain level of consistency and cohesiveness from your group, because that's what it's going to take to be the last team standing. And this game felt as though this was a step backwards from that. Where they just didn't seem as attached as they needed to be in order to do some of the most basic fundamental things, like, you know, don't allow their scoring guard to get free and get the matchup that he wants. Be the aggressor, be the dictator of that stuff. And they just didn't dictate the action enough to win this game. And, you know, the final score, I think, is a little bit misleading. Atlanta played a better game than the Celtics. And the final score does not indicate the level in which they just outplayed Boston. Their work on the boards, their timely shots, contributions from guys just chipping in for the win. They played a better game than the Celtics, and the outcome is exactly what happens when you play a team that you're better than, but they're just playing better than you in that moment. You're going to lose.
Yeah.
Facts. You are going to lose. You know who might lose? I'm not kidding here. It's getting close.
Thanasis Manning
is in deep, deep trouble.
Oh boy.
If you
kill him.
If you want to rescue Thanasis Manning, you're going to have to take to Twitter and vote. The poll is off. It is off. We have switched out the Herman Gomez reason. We are now on Farts by Dog and Blame Pie. That poll is live now.
That's me going too.
In the chat on both our YouTube channels, which you should subscribe to if you haven't already. And please give us some likes. Likes do good things for the algorithm, and it makes more people like us. I don't know if more people will like us. I don't even know if you guys like us, but it helps. So some likes are great. Subscribe if you haven't already. What? Yeah, Nick says that. I don't even know if it's true, but he says it, so I'm going to say it too. I believe
it's
in
it. It can't hurt.
He said it in the comments a lot. Everyone liked this. Yeah.
Like me, please.
Well,
guys,
conventions, yes.
I want you to like me.
Speaking of Blame Pie, John.
And we are going to pivot. We are going to pivot to our Blame Pie, and we're going to talk about it.
If anyone wanted to know what the Blame Pie meant, here you go.
What do we have today?
What is in the bottom?
It's blurry.
It's like a hot dog.
Pie.
Are those peanuts or something?
It's like, yeah.
We got wings. The big three.
Are those lemon pepper?
Oh, the wings.
Those are lemon pepper wings. Those are lemon pepper wings.
Damn it, Amit.
There should be a picture of Amit, actually, on the Blame Pie.
Amit should be the question mark. I blame Amit.
Amit, you should post the picture, the wing that you posted, man.
He should be the Blame Pie.
That's funny.
I'm going with Joe on this.
Who's cutting it?
Are these guys having too much fun in Atlanta? Is that a real thing?
I am at a Blame Pie convention in Los Angeles. These guys are having wings in Atlanta.
I know they had a team dinner. Is that a real thing?
Who?
The Celtics. Yeah, didn't they have a team dinner the other night? And
they better have. They were in the same town together for 3 days.
Well, no, I mean, like, it was like an event or something. Are they having so much fun in Atlanta? Is that the problem?
Who gets it tonight? It's easy to pick on Tatum.
I'm going with Joe.
By the way, this is a great and straightforward comment. John, I like the Garden Report. Thank you.
That's all
Thanks,
we
Nick. Thanks, Nick.
That's not going to help the algorithms, but thank you.
Nick, we like you. It's not going to help, but you got to like it. No, don't tell me you like it. You know, that's like your name. Yeah. You know?
Repeat don't tell me you buddy. Love me. Show me.
All right, Nick, that's funny.
Show me the love. But...
He said, go like it. He liked it. He told you.
He liked it. So how much of this is like
We played Monday night and we gave it to mostly Tatum and some to Joe.
I always give it to Tatum. And this is a classic Tatum game where
he just for me.
Was sleepy Tatum. And stucky for a while. And then he kind of comes on a little bit late and everyone's like, oh, you're playing today? And then at the end, you've got the broadcast gushing over his stats for getting a 35-5 game. Was that representative of like the type of effort that you got from your star player throughout the course of this game and the way he came out and the way he played in the early going? It doesn't feel like it, right? It's like you were looking for a little bit of a take charge performance, and what you got was shots not falling, you know, like kind of passive. So I don't know. I mean, I'm always going to start with the players, and I'm always going to start with the best players. You can nitpick the other guys, but, you know, and again, this is what we're talking about. Who else dropped 30? I don't know, man. You want to use stats sometimes and not other times to make your points. That's fine. But, like, do you think Tatum was great tonight? Do you think Tatum did what he had to do?
No, he was good. But he's always good.
I'm going to flip what I did.
Is, by the way, has the inside track on next year's bracket, by the way, already. Jamaican boy as an entry. But go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Josue. Sorry.
No, sorry. I was reading Jamaican boy's comment. I was saying I'm going to just flip what I said Monday. When it was 60-40, Tatum and Joe, right?
Yeah.
Tatum had 60-40 on Joe. I'm going to go the other way this time. I'll go 60% Joe Mazzulla and 40% on Tatum.
60. Wow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I feel like in those situations, whether it's drawing up a play, whether it's getting guys on the same page, whatever the case may be, and I get it, the players have to go out there and figure it out a lot of times on their own. Like, that's just kind of the way it goes. You have to, you know, feel out the game, find out what parts are of the team is vulnerable and attack. And I just think that a lot of times with the attitude that we saw from Tatum, especially with the last game, right, when you got the 8 seconds walking the ball up the floor and all that, this time was a little different. You know, you saw him with a little bit more urgency, you know, down the stretch or whatever in that fourth quarter. But like, I just don't think he galvanizes the team, you know. And I think Joe Mazzulla, mm-hmm. as the head coach, like, that's a big part of your job in a way, right? And especially in these moments where, let's face it, because this team has been so successful, there haven't been a whole lot of these moments, these tough, okay, we're going into overtime. I mean, what is this, like the eighth or ninth overtime game in the season? So, like, and it's been a while since the last time they had one. And look at the stats, it's almost like 50-50 in terms of them winning these type of games. So I just think that this type of stuff, like, Joe has to take something from it, like something valuable, and use that to finish the rest of the season, you know, whether it's figuring out what works best at the end of the game, different combinations or whatever, putting guys in different spots. Doesn't mean you have to go ahead and do it in the postseason, but I just want to see something else, you know. And I know we're not going to have a whole lot of these because maybe the schedule is not as challenging and there won't be a whole lot of teams out there. But I mean, you look at what the Atlanta Hawks did. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there are teams out there who, towards the end of the season, they don't have a playoff, they don't have a fight to make the playoffs, and they're going to give the Celtics, they're going to treat it like the Celtics of their playoffs. You know, that happens when you have the best record by a mile, like the Celtics do. And that's something that can disrupt your overall momentum, your flow going into the postseason. So the Celtics have to take care of business here. They have to treat these games, you know, of value. Not to say that they walked through this one, but clearly the players, what happened a few nights ago, it clearly didn't affect them. It didn't seem like it in their body language, you know? And I think that's a problem. Like, whether it's playing for pride or whether it's just saying, hey, you know, let's get the last laugh. Let's forget what happened a few days ago and go kick their asses. And instead, we got an overtime battle game and their team is still missing their best player. Like, let's face it, Murray was solid today. He was great. He hit some, a lot of big shots, but that's a team still playing without his best player and missing a starter and another big in Okongwu, you know, coming off the bench. So, I mean, that's an impressive game. That's an impressive win for the Hawks, but it really makes you think about what happened with the Celtics mentally.
All right, my blame pie. It's probably good. I'm gonna split it down the middle with Tatum and Mazzulla. They each could take a half of the pie. So my reasoning is this.
Plus, the Tatum, Hawks played last night. I forgot about that. Sorry, Jimmy. That's crazy.
Like, that is crazy.
Second night of a back-to-back.
Second night of a back-to-back without your best player.
That is crazy, actually. And here's why Mazzulla gets just as much blame. And usually I do give it to the players. Mazzulla gets just as much blame because after the way the Celtics played on Monday,
thanks,
the way they
Melody. I won't thanks, criticize Mark. This one.
Yeah, don't. Please don't. See, I told you they liked it. They came back for more.
Jimmy, continue your thought.
All right. Where was I? Now I'm all over. Okay.
I wanted to give a shout out to them.
Mazzulla got the Celtics lose Monday. Mazzulla had whatever it was, 4 days and two of his guards coming back. So he had all this time to draw up the plan, you know, work with the players, go over the film, different strategies, all the stuff the head coaches are supposed to do so that the Celtics did come out tonight and did what we all thought they were going to do, you know, win by, you know, double digits. They didn't do that. And then mid-game, what adjustments were made? The Hawks kept doing the same shit, crashing the boards, getting the rebounds, getting to the second chance points, hustle plays. So if your head coach is there to make adjustments, get guys into the right mindset, call the right plays down the stretch, did he do any of those things tonight? If not, then how can he not take some of the blame or a good portion of the blame? I know the coach isn't typically going to win you the game, and it does come down on the players, but it would be nice if there was some sort of chess match here because it was a back-to-back game between the two. Maybe it's a little playoff situation type where it's like, okay, you're in a 7-game series, you have to make adjustments. This is the type of a series sort of mentality that you want to have. Didn't see enough made, especially with two of your guys coming back that are integral parts of this team. And so that's why he gets a huge chunk of the pie. And then Tatum gets it because, quite simply, you're the superstar. You're getting the ball late in the game. hit the shot and you're not getting we're not talking about the blame pie. Don't, and now we are. So that's my reasoning.
There it is. So anything, let's do this. All season long, it's been extremely difficult to say anything and you know, that anything matters, right? Yeah, facts, my dog. Right? It's hard to say that anything matters or has mattered at any point in time. And hey, Jimmy, you've gotten mad at me for not being more mad over some losses, yeah, you know, throughout the year, because again,
hard to numbers, manufacture it.
Yeah. I'll put it this way. I spent the whole day last game, after the game, people texting me and seeing it on Twitter and my mentions and blah, blah, blah. They always do this. They always blow leads. They're terrible at it, but yeah, they're not. And they haven't been, and they haven't been this year. And it's not the same thing. And I think they're thinking back a couple of years ago. I think someone posted a stat that they've done it less in Missoula's 2 years than they did it in Ime's 1 year. So it's not, they're not horrible. They do have late game execution issues, mainly tied to their pace of play, which slows to a crawl. That to me is the thing that bugged me the most about last game, but not the whatever. So yes, there's always an issue or two you look at and say, this could be annoying, but everyone just say, look at their record. This game doesn't matter. They're bored. That's fine. But the record also doesn't matter in the playoffs either. So people have to stop using that as the fallback. Yes, everything's been good, but you don't really have much margin for error in the playoffs. And these types of things, the late game issues, not showing up one night, you know, not taking an opponent seriously or coasting with a lead can cost you. And you just really can't afford to have it. At what point might you get worried about anything you've seen? And again, it's two games coming off a 9-game winning streak where they clinched the frigging East with 11 games to play. So yes, everything is going well. Can they do anything here which will make you a little nervous?
Down the stretch here? You mean going into the playoffs? Like, yeah, I've always said this. You want to go into the playoffs. It's probably more important in like the NFL. But you want to go into the playoffs playing well, feeling good, ready to go, right mindset, guys are healthy, good vibes. You don't want to just like stumble in, because that sets the tone. And that gives teams a reason to think, hey, these guys aren't who they were in you know, November and December and January. They're a completely different team right now. Let's go in there and show them that, you know, we're better than them. And then all of a sudden you have a series after game one, upset. There goes home court. There goes the momentum. There goes your confidence. And that's
the
how serious
falling apart.
Exactly. Yep. And then idiots like us go on the show and say, panic meter is at all time high. These guys, you know, something's off. This is their first, this is their first stretch where they've really had to overcome something, or they're not prepared for it, and yada, yada, yada. So yeah, I think there's reason to finish strong. It doesn't matter in the standings. We know that they're going to end up as the one seed. But you still want to set – this is what I said. You want to – what's the word I'm looking for? You want to make sure that you are, I guess, playing the right way and doing the right things. I can't think of the word, but that's my point. I'll think of it and I'll blurt it out.
Yeah, we know you will.
Max, my dog.
You want to do the –
And Fuzzy, I'm not all in. My stance has been the same. I'm neither riding too high or too low on the team, because I don't believe anything matters, the good and the bad. The good and what they've been able to do and the high quality of play gives you confidence that you're dealing
– Habits, thank you.
You're dealing with a different type of team.
Habits,
I've thought each version of this team entering the playoffs, even that – Ime year in the second half when they were killing people, I never really believed. I might have faked it a little bit because the results were certainly there that year, but I've always looked at this team and thought, like, I don't see it, man. I really don't. And so this year you see it, you see more, but you also see little flashes of those things that gave you doubt in the past. I have no idea who shows up in the playoffs. Yes, it would be shocking if they lost in the first round or two, But it would also be not shocking if they just showed up and were in dogfights with inferior opponents and you got frustrated watching this team that's been killing people. Top five margin of victory all time, best offensive rating all time. They've been killing people. And yes, it will be frustrating to see it, but it's not. There's a non-zero chance that it happens. That I'm not saying they lose in the first round, but that they're in a really annoying back and forth 6 or 7 game series, and you're like, uh-oh, and then you realize nothing about this is going to be easy. This can happen with this team. So I don't believe like they got this in the bag, but I don't know what we're going to see in the playoffs. I'm still not convinced. I'm they got to show it. Like, everything we've seen so far is good for the regular season. You feel good about the team. It kind of starts all over for me.
It matters to everybody the same in the playoffs. They're playing games right now where, depending on who you're playing and where you are, it doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter to the Celtics in a certain way for the opposite reason why it doesn't matter to the Pistons, right? So that whole mentality changes. But if you go into the playoffs thinking you're going to just flip a switch, it doesn't happen like that all the time. First round, yeah, you can get away with it. It's talent's going to win out. But you get to that second round, you're playing a team that just won their matchup too, and they're feeling good and they're riding high. So you have to earn it. You can't disrespect the game.
Yep.
It's never worked out for anyone who has.
The thing that happened 2 years ago is that they fooled me because of that huge run that they went on. Let's face it, historically speaking, those teams typically not only make it to the finals, they usually win it all. I mean, you could even look at the Miami Heat and the Celtics from 2 years ago. That window was from January to the end of the year, which is even a longer window compared to what we saw with the Miami Heat. Now, of course, they need a little bit of luck with the play-in and all that, but they got there, right? They got to the NBA Finals. I just underestimated the mindset.
What is Jimmy doing?
Four-time champion.
I'm back.
Is this what they teach you at homeschool? Just do this.
I didn't think you would notice. I went like this for like a 2 seconds.
You literally
just,
we can see you.
You're
not a 3-year-old playing hide and seek. Like,
I went like,
I usually wait for a highlight in my defense. I usually wait for someone talking, a player.
Oh my God. Or do this. Jimmy, run away right now. Jaylen Brown talking about late game execution.
That's what you got to look for. You got to wait for those come down the shot making. You guys are 4-8 in those spots this year. Is there anything else you can point to in those spots that you guys need to improve on before the playoffs, those 1-point games, final minute?
I think just, like you said, execution, not settling. Sometimes I think we have settled or whatever, and we can get to the basket and things like that. But, I think we'll be ready when it's time to come. We just got to make sure that we execute. We got our spacing, and then we're not settling because we're not leaving it to the officiator. You get to your spot, go up and down, and live with those results.
Okay.
I like that comment from Matt. Jimmy put "fax my dog" into action.
Nah, I know where the mute button is.
He just left. He just left. We've got a couple things we're going to do here. We're going to do this.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to do this. Here is we also have Jason Tatum talking about things. Jason Tatum on the last shot.
I feel like you fared in those spots this year, those last shots to, go ahead, tie a game, down one, down two. Where do you feel like you're at in running those sets?
Yeah, I mean, I know I missed a couple this year, so I was like, damn, I gotta be due for one.
Couple.
I hit a bunch of them.
All of them.
But it's part of it. Make or miss league.
Make or miss league.
Enjoy being in those situations.
The one to end.
Can that be a number 6 feet next year? Make or miss league.
How'd that play come together and, just taking a different approach there? Do you think that was beneficial?
Yeah, I mean, we had 4 different options. D-White threw it to KP. We just know whoever got it, we wanted to go quick. As soon as KP caught it, I just ran down. I thought he was about to shoot it so I could try to get the offensive rebound. JB made a big shot. So, Drew just drew up a play. We had 4 or 5 different options, and KP just happened to be the first one.
All right, we're here. Bobby Manning is joining from Atlanta. John Zanis is leaving. Bobby, take it.
Come on.
Take it away. I got to go, guys. I got to go. I got to boogie.
L.A. John. Where to tonight? Nobu? Where are you headed, dude?
We actually are going to get sushi. We're meeting with whatever. It sounds ridiculous. It'll sound like I'm being self-important, but we have a dinner meeting tonight, so we got to go.
Yeah. And your best behavior. Tell Nick we said hello.
Yes. Nick only gets 6 drinks tonight.
That's wow. It'll be an early night then.
So, so we're going to wrap it up. I wanted to go to Koreatown, but
that's a very cool place.
Get some barbecue, but yeah.
Yes.
But anyway, Bobby, I'm going to go. I'm going to configure you guys in a 4 box and I'm out of here. You got a golf read to do, somebody. You got to sell some golf products.
All right. And then there were 4.
They have gear now. Outfits,
that's
right?
That's what we're going to be selling, Josue. Spoiler alert. Bobby, you with us?
Be tuned.
I'm with you.
Boom.
Welcome in. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, so I'll just bounce off the Tatum cut there.
What the hell's going on? What's up, Bobby? What's going on?
What the hell happened?
I thought you were about to agree, but yeah, I'll bounce off the Tatum stuff there.
Bounce away.
Now 2 for 8. 2 for 8 from the field in 1 minute, games under 1 minute within 1 point. 1 for 6 under 10 seconds in 1 point games under 10 seconds. So a ton of misses in those spots. I think my big takeaway, the last shot of regulation was a disaster. I asked Joe about it, and I think you guys might have played it. He answered it more from like a time and score standpoint rather than the fact that they went away from the Tatum ISO in the overtime shot that they went to at the end of regulation, played through the post and Porzingis, and were able to get a shot in Jaylen Brown's wheelhouse. And I think there's been a lot of debate between a bunch of people, especially coming out of Monday's game, which was also a last minute finish. Do you go to Jaylen more in those situations? Do you at least just switch it up from the isolation play in those spots? And they did, and it worked well. Jaylen said the play got blown up. Tatum said they had a bunch of options in that spot. So it was just a better play. And I know Joe said it's because of the situation and the time, but there's no doubt in my mind that they saw how horribly that Tatum set went to end the fourth and said, we're doing something different this time around. So credit to Joe for that, because he brutally mishandled the end of the fourth quarter there. This would have been a horrifying loss if they lost it a different way than just a...
They couldn't go to Tatum again.
The gutsiest of shots by Murray at the end there. This, to me, I know they say it all the time, and I know they feign the confidence in these situations sometimes, even after the worst of losses, but this, to me, legitimately was a really good learning experience for this situation that might still be the biggest holdup in people who don't believe in this team winning a championship. They're now 4-8 in crunch time finishes under a minute, 1 point games. They're 2-7 in the final, 10 second finishes of 1 point games. So they need to improve in these spots. I know Joe says a lot of it's shot making, but I like tonight that he actually added getting to the free throw line is important to winning those kind of games, and playing through physicality is important to winning those kind of games. And along, like I said, Monday, Jimmy, he said something that I thought was a subtle biting criticism of the team. He's not going to outright do it, but he said, you have to expect the teams are going to come back. He said that a couple times over the last week. When you're up 20, when you're up 30, you have to expect the teams are going to come back. Tonight, he said, you have to play through physicality in those late final 10 second, final minute games. And I don't think the Celtics did a great job of playing through physicality tonight. There was a lot of complaining over officiating. I thought it took Tatum out of the game at times. He only took one shot in the third, I think, and really struggled to begin the fourth before he got some, shots to go. So I think that's something that the whole team has to do better at. I know you played Jaylen. A lot of stuff to learn from this one.
We lose your dog. Bobby, you there?
Yeah, I said a lot of stuff to learn from this one.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, I 100%. And what about the way Tatum? I mean, I think Tatum started off slow in this one, too. He wasn't the aggressive Tatum that it seems like they went to Porzingis early on in this game. And Maybe Tatum got going a little bit later, but we were playing a blame pie earlier, Bobby. And you didn't get a chance to give us your take. But are you putting this on Tatum tonight? Are you putting this on Mazzulla? Little of both. Where's it go?
Yeah, I'm always gonna go to Tatum. I don't think Joe handled the end of the fourth great, but to learn from that in the overtime and put them in a position to win the game, I thought was great on his part. So, you know, he gets points there. For Tatum, it's still about being able to diversify that late game approach there. And the bite we just played there, Jimmy, it doesn't seem like there's a ton of reflection there. We just missed some shots, no. And it's a make-miss league. That, to me, is what kills.
Because
I, you know, you hear Jalen, and it's like, you can't settle. We got to be the enforcer. You know, stuff like that after losses like this. You love to hear that. Joe, as analytical as he can get, I think has the right idea coming out of games like these. And oftentimes, I think points in the right direction. This was a game largely decided by offensive rebounding as much as the crunch time. I think that's a valid point. Holiday, I was a little surprised to hear the confidence he had coming out of this one. There was just no worry whatsoever from him. I think that reflects the situations he's been in as a champion. So I think that's a little reassuring that he comes out of it that way. And then you just get to Tatum at the end. And it's always the same thing, right? You know what you're going to get from him in terms of the reflection from this. Now, what is he actually looking at? How is he actually feeling coming out of this one? Maybe that's a different story. But out of losses like these, out of performances like these, it's too often just, on to the next one, miss some shots, be better next time. Which, is good in some sense, Jimmy, because he's able to put performances like this behind him legitimately quickly. Even in the same game, he'll respond from some missed shots quickly. But when you have a little bit of a trend like this at the end of games, you want to start to look at, all right, how can we do some things differently? And Sherrod, is them going to a different player in overtime a sign that they could be, soul searching a little bit with those final shots?
I hope so. I really hope so. Because I think you've got the kind of group and players where you can do that and it not be anything that's awkward, uncomfortable, because the Celtics at their best, the ball is moving. And it's moving in the direction of passing up good shots for great ones. And I thought, again, that, the way that they utilized, I think, Jalen and Derek White specifically, I don't think they take advantage of what those guys can do in tight crunch type situations. You look at this game, the Celtics, they made they just couldn't quite put everything together and put this team away. And yet, even with all the mistakes they made, big shots by Jalen Brown, big shots by Derek White, guys were finding ways to impact the game and not necessarily be the first option. They need to just diversify it a little bit more because they've got at least two guys who've shown the ability to make big shots in crunch moments. And Tatum, that's just not who he is. And we've seen him long enough to kind of embrace that reality that as good a player as he is and as many skills as he has, until they start calling more sets to put him in different situations to execute down the stretch, if they're just going to give him the ball and say, go get us a bucket, he's going to struggle in that scenario. And we've seen that struggle consistently.
Yeah, see, that's the part that worries me, Sherrod. I feel like this could be wrong, but this might be one of those stubborn, I'm going to die on this hill thing from Joe Mazzulla, where it's like, look, if the game is tied and there's one possession left, it's going to Tatum. But he's not going to flat out say that, right? So I don't know if it's just a comfort thing, or is he just believing in this law of averages for rising superstars where it eventually, the pendulum swings and he's going to start making them all of a sudden, or he's just generally trying to build more confidence to Tatum for him to get more comfortable in that moment. I don't know which one it is, but I mean, if you ask me, it's probably the first, because to me, it's like, it's only a matter of time, maybe that's the way Joe's thinking about this. Like, it's only a matter of time before that shot falls. The more chances at it that Tatum gets, he'll just settle into that comfort level. But I don't think that's the right thing, If Tatum's on, if he's having one of those nights, then sure, of course. Then it makes the decision a no-brainer. But with so many other weapons, surprise us sometimes. Joe, give us something that we didn't expect to see. A Derek White play or a shot or something, Like a backdoor cut or, a high percentage shot for someone like Derek White, for example, right? That would throw teams off. I feel like he's open a lot of the times. I mean, shit, he's the big reason why there was a game seven last year, right? The reason why, right? Right. So I just think there's other things you can do. There's other ways to go to approach that situation. But part of me feels like he really wants it to be Tatum again in those spots, though. Not just, oh, at the end of the game, get the ball to Tatum, everyone get out of the way. But if the game's tied and the worst case scenario of him missing is them going into overtime, I feel like it's the ball going to go to Tatum in those moments.
True.
We had a big return tonight, Jrue Holiday. Bobby, you're there. I think you talked to him after the game. 13 points for him tonight. 37 minutes, which is nice coming off some time off. What did you think about how he looked out there, and what did he have to say, if anything?
Yeah, he said he felt good, better than expected, and he ramped up steadily throughout the week. He was practicing Wednesday. He got some shots up on Monday, so he was able to, you know, take his time with this, and it didn't look like he missed a beat tonight. Knocked down threes. I thought defensively, right from the start, he got quick steal and was making stuff happen on that end. And, you know, right at the end of the game, I think he defended that last shot about as well as you can against Murray. So I thought he looked like himself, and they benefited from having him out there. A couple of times it was a late offensive rebound where he crashes from the corner. That's been a constant with him this year that felt great to have back in their lineup. So I don't think his performance tonight really stood out any differently from what we've seen from him all year, just subtle impact on the game. And they need this. It hasn't stood out for a lot of the season. He hasn't had a prominent role in the offense, but for him to be this efficient on 11 shots, six threes, when he just sat out for five games is a great sign. He's just so steady. And I said, again, what stood out to me in that locker room the most is the fact that, like, someone asked him, how are you going to bounce back from this? And he's just like, go to Saturday. And, you know, when Tatum says that, he's like, oh, but like for a guy who's been in this spot and won a championship and been through so much of this, for him to just basically be like, you know, I'd rather just deal with this now and figure it out. And hopefully this kind of stuff doesn't happen in the playoffs. I feel it a little bit more from him. Like, it resonates as authentic to me a little bit more from a guy like him. So, you know, he hope that injury's done in the past completely now. I'd imagine it is, just being a little bit of a stinger there. But, you know, I don't have any concerns from them coming out of this one.
Anybody else on Holiday, or are we all pretty much in agreement that he looked like Holiday out there?
He's back. You know, I think this is important to kind of ramp up for the postseason. You know, missing five games in March. I mean, no one wants that. He's such an important player for this team, especially on the defensive end of the floor as a facilitator as well. So, yeah, I thought he looked good. I mean, you know, wasn't going to be – numbers weren't going to pop off the charts, but I just think it's getting him back was big. And I'm glad it happened on this road trip.
We got him right here. See them in the first
round in a few weeks. So what, you got Derek White?
We got Jrue.
I mean, Jrue. How are you adjusting to that? Jrue.
We combated with the same thing, being just as aggressive, if not even more. Again, I think at the end of the day for us, something that we can clean up is offensive rebounding on their end. And I think we take care of that. Could be a different game.
He's right.
That is him talking about potential matchup against the Hawks in the playoffs. Guys, I want to remind everybody that this Garden Report is brought to you by the fine folks at PXG. Okay, you guys probably know PXG from their high-quality clubs, but they're getting into the apparel game. And it's late March, you know. It's still pretty chilly out here in New England, but it's going to be April next. We're going to wake up on Monday. It's going to be April. The birds are going to be chirping. The grass is going to start to be turning green, and we're going to want to get out there with our golf clubs in the golf course. You want to look good, okay? So right now at PXG, they're getting into the clothing game, the apparel game. You can go to pxg.com/garden, save 10% on all apparel. And God, I'm telling you, some of this golf stuff, it can get pricey. So that 10% is going to go a long way. You know, whether it's a golf trip, whether it's just getting out there, you know, after work, it's the sun's staying up later. They got something for everyone. Pants, polos, sweaters, hats, quarter zips, joggers, jackets, dresses, skirts, if you're into that thing. Everything you could want. So you want to elevate your style game on and off the course with the PXG Spring Summer 2024 collection. head over to pxg.com/garden and save 10% on all apparel. That's pxg.com/garden to save 10% on all apparel. Now, we can't have a Garden report with a back-to-back loss without putting up the panic meter, Bobby. Where are you guys at with this? Are we still in the green where Bobby lives or used to live? I think Bobby's still way over. Or we just
I'm heating up a little bit this year.
We just constant panic, like John. I'll start with Joe Sway on this one. Joe Sway, we're on the corner.
Give us a color.
Yeah, give us a color here. Where are you?
I'm technically in the orange, but I'm probably borderline. I mean.
Oh, Joe Sway's heating up.
Borderline orange to dark orange or orange to yellow?
Orange to dark orange. Is that
orange to like burnt
sea? Whoa, you're reaching John territory.
Wow.
Damn. Wait. No. Sorry. Orange to yellow. Excuse me.
Oh, cooling down.
You're in like the middle.
Cooling down a little
bit. Somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, it's not like, you know, it's not one of those things where I'm like, oh, all bets are off. I still like this team to go to the finals, but it's just those type of it's those characteristics, it's those flaws that I'm like, man, they're not going anywhere, and that scares me. Way,
actually, here we go. Like, I like this better.
Yeah.
All right. Panic meter.
Are we talking right. just tonight, Jimmy?
No, we're not talking. We're talking. You know, over the
recently.
You know,
okay.
Yeah, the last five games, I think you could say that even though some of them are wins, they've been playing differently. Defense has fallen off a little bit. Obviously, Monday they blew a big one. And tonight you can point to a number of probably concerns that you would not want to see turn into regular occurrences. So is this just the end of the season, just whateverness? Or is there reason to be like, well, hold on a second. Some of these things could rear its ugly head again in the playoffs sort of deal.
I'd put myself in the orange then, because you're looking at a string of games this month where they've let leads dwindle. I think the playing through physicality point is valid. That's going to be a part of the playoffs. How can you adjust to that? I don't think they've acclimated well to those situations in recent weeks in some of these tougher games here. So you do start to creep into the orange a little bit. That's not panic, like things are just going to fall apart here and they're going to lose in these finals again. I still believe in this team as an NBA finals team, but we're judging them on championship. And these are all the things we bring up here that could potentially prevent them from winning a championship, the crunch time stuff. There's some debate out of this game whether the offensive rebounding stuff's a real problem. Joe points to their defensive rebounding percentage being really good, which is valid, but they do give
up right up there with potential assists per game.
Yeah, they give up a pretty high number of like raw offensive rebounds per game, which isn't the best stat, but they give them up sometimes. I feel like when they go small, when they play in that drop, they're prone to giving them up. But this was not a very good Porzingis game, by the way.
No, it wasn't.
There's some room for a little bit of panic if you're believing in this team winning a championship this year. I think games like this and the Bucks and the Cavs just let a little bit of panic creep in. So I think you're over that fence line, you know, that Joe Sway is sitting on there.
Sure. Where are you sitting?
I'm yellow. I'm not as worried as some of you guys are about this team at this point, simply because I think at the end of the day, the Celtics, this team is going to remind us of just how important it is to have all your pieces together. And it could be the most insignificant piece, but if it's a core piece, you're going to need that. I think there's a lot of scenarios where if Al Horford was out there tonight, would they have won the game? Maybe. Would you feel better about their chances of winning it? Absolutely. There have been other games where we've seen them not look good, where they were missing, an Al Horford or Porzingis or someone who isn't Tatum or Brown, but is still part of their core. I'm good. I think they'll figure it out. And remember, the thing I keep reminding myself whenever I see this is that whoever they're playing has to beat them four times. Mm-hmm. To put them away, you have to beat them four times. I think this team can be absolutely beaten once or twice in the series. Hell, I think there's some teams that can probably beat them three times. I don't think there's a team in the East that can put them away four times. Don't think so. Mm-hmm. So that's why my level of panic is still in the yellow. If there was a lime green, if there was a lime green, I'd go with that because lime green is between yellow and green. But I'm going yellow for this.
I think we do kind of have a lime green.
I'd be there with you, Sherrod, if we're just talking about tonight. I'm not panicking about this game. I didn't love Monday. I really didn't like the Bucks game more than many people did, I felt like. And then the Cavs game was really bad, even if it was some weird shot making from Dean Wade there. It's just managing these leads, managing success, as Joe talks about a lot here. Like they haven't had a great month, all things considered here. And the month's coming to an end. Transfer clean slate into April when the playoffs begin here. They're healthy. They've rested. I love the fact that tonight you get the full starting group together and deal with a situation like this. And let's face it, guys. This could legitimately be round one again. And we saw how much this matchup challenged them early last year. And this Hawks team, if they put it all together and figure it out and play like this, they could be even more threatening than a year ago because they're well coached. They do things that bother the Celtics here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've kicked around those first-round matchups, Jimmy. Embiid's going to be back. Philly could be challenging. Atlanta, challenging for all the reasons we're talking about tonight. Miami, the challenge is there, obvious. And even Chicago, as mediocre as they are, might have the most crunch time wins in the NBA this year, last I looked. So they're a team that's played really well late in games and has played well against the Celtics generally this year too, outside of that tournament game. So the four teams you're probably going to see in the first round all look like they could challenge you, push a series 6-7 games maybe.
Right.
That's exactly what we're not looking for from the Celtics here. If they start the playoffs like that again, I think then your panic meter goes up a little bit.
Interesting. I'm with Sherrod. I'm on the yellow. I'm on the green yellow side of things. I'm not really panicking yet. I want to believe that these are just little road. Yeah, right. What's going on over there? He was out last night. I want to believe that these are just little hiccups or little coughs, if you will, if you're Bobby. But I'm not ready to say it's more than that. Yeah. But that being said, though.
Metaphorically speaking, though,
talk to me a week or talk to me 10 days from now, right before the regular season ends, whenever that is. If this still type of play is still going on, I'm in the deep orange because that tells me that there's something off with these guys and that they're just not where they need to be heading into the playoffs. That's going to do it for us, guys. We want to thank everybody for jumping on with us. Remind everyone that you can still vote in the March Madness Garden Report bracket. I am being told that Blame Pie is in the lead right now over Farts My Dog, a 6-2.
What? So
if you want to see Farts My Dog advance, you're going to have to go over to the Twitter and put your vote in for Farts My Dog. That would be a pretty major upset. And prior to that, I think he's your third center, was on a pretty convincing run over the number one seed, Thanasis Manning. So we could have a wild Final Four here if these things keep going the way they are. We want to thank everybody who watched tonight.
All the way.
That's right. We want to thank our great sponsors. We want to thank everybody who left a super chat tonight, 14 different super chats. So we really appreciate that, guys.
Nice. Appreciate you guys. Thank you. Thank you.
That's the only way Bobby's going to be able to, Bobby's flight home is funded strictly on super chat. So the more we raise, the better his flight is. Right now it's not looking good, but We'll see
in a few days. Hey, Frontiers, you know, they're trying hard there, Jimmy.
Yeah, yeah. We might be able to stick him in.
What do you got? You got three stops on the way home? But you'll get home soon, buddy.
Yeah,
I think Ahmet might accidentally miss his flight and stick down here for another.
That would be a real shame.
Oh, boy.
That would be a real
shame. Don't send the text yet, Ahmet. Not yet. You got to wait. Don't send it yet.
Ahmet's probably begging us to end the show so we can get on with his weekend.
By the way, let me give a shout out to the Hawks PR staff. They're great. One of my favorite groups in the league down here. They were just really great to us all week. We spent a lot more time down here than you would for a normal road trip in the NBA season. So it was awesome being around them. Georgia Tech people were awesome this week too. So just great people down here across the board. Thanks to all of them.
Wow.
UC Dame?
You see Damon?
Yeah. Yeah, they practiced over there, so we got to catch up with him.
He must have been all smiles, man. Good for
We'll
him.
Make Amit clip this and send it to the Hawks PR staff so that they know that you thanked them. How about that? Maybe you'll get awesome. Yourself a nice
Yeah, my guy Billy. Love him.
You'll get a better seat next year when you go. All right, guys. Say goodnight.
With Bobby and More Chick-fil-A bro. Cards.
We'll see you We're Saturday. Deuces. Wait, Amit's got an you outro guys. For us, I think.
No, he doesn't.
He said he was going to work on an outro.
He had a phenomenal game.
Phenomenal
game. Porford's out. I think it's an option.
That did not sound like a chair.
It was a freaking chair. It does sound like a chair.